Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And joining us again today is our favorite master gardener, Jan Peterzelka. Welcome back, Jan.
Thank you, Norma. Thank you very much. It's always great to be here.
Well, it's late January and it's time for us to start thinking about roses. And we're going to be talking about roses here very, very shortly. But first, we want to congratulate you guys for making the class for the El Paso Community College Continuing Education class, the Home Gardening in El Paso. You guys got a lot of response. And so Master Gardener is going to be educating a whole new class of students about gardening in our region.
And today's the first day of school. So very excited for them. And it's a great group to have. And if you missed your chance this time, just wait for us in the summertime because we'll be back. The Master Gardeners teach the class three times a year. So take advantage of when that comes around because it's a great way to learn about all about gardening in El Paso.
And again, also, we want to mention that coming up in a few weeks, there's going to be a meeting held by the Chihuahuan Desert Education Coalition. They want to educate the community to help promote native plant landscapes in our neighborhoods. And that's something that we try to espouse here on Good to Grow as well, to try to encourage more people to put more native plants in their landscapes, not just clear out all their grass and trees and put rocks and cement, because that's just even defeating the purpose. You're just making your house hotter, and you're also creating this awful heat island, and also it's not visually beautiful either.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot of great groups in town that do this kind of work, and we really do support their mission to be able to want to encourage folks to have more native plants into their landscape. We also have later on this spring the native plant sale being held at UTEP campus as well. So, you know, start putting all this together and attending these meetings and start gathering your information, because it's going to be pretty soon to start transplanting and bringing in new native plants if you don't have them in your landscape already.
So maybe if you're living in a home with not much of a good looking landscape, maybe you moved into one that's got rocks and cement or just an ocotillo sitting there all by its lonesome, then you may want to consider attending this meeting on Tuesday, February the 2nd. It's happening at the Garden Center at 3105 Grant from 6 to 7:30. Again, that's on Tuesday, February 2nd. You can find the information on the Good to Grow page. We also have the information here at the radio station in case you want to give us a call. Their website is also ChihuahuanDesert.org. Really easy website to remember. Well, let's talk about roses. And before we talk about the types of roses, another event we want to promote is that rose pruning demonstration. We'll be getting more into rose pruning, I think, on our next program. But for individuals who are listening right now who want to learn more about this rose pruning demonstration, tell us more, Jan.
We will be holding that presentation at the Rose Garden on Copia, across from Memorial Park, on Saturday, January the 30th, from 10 to 12. And we have certified master gardeners that are out there to show us how to prune specifically different types of roses. We're taking a little bit of a different approach this year, and we have master gardeners that have signed up to show the public how to prune certain kinds of roses. So we'll have that going on all morning and afternoon from 10 to 12. We ask the public to come out. It's free. Bring your pruners and your rose gloves if you have them, or leather gloves, because we want you to have some hands-on experience on how to prune those roses. So we will be out there. There also will be an information table. So we'll have some publications that will be available. If you don't want to go the paper route, you can always go to our website at txmg/El Paso and look under publication. There's a lot of information on roses.
And the rose pruning website demonstration is being done in conjunction with the El Paso Rose Society, correct?
They are. Of course, we work very closely with the city of El Paso, and we couldn't do things without the good advice and work of members of the El Paso Rose Society. So we want to be sure and give them an attaboy and thank them for all their support and their hard work. And because they are the ones that started that beautiful garden back in the 50s, and without them, we wouldn't have a rose garden. So thanks to them, and hats off to the El Paso Rose Society.
And again, that's going to be at the Municipal Rose Garden next Saturday, January the 30th, beginning at 10 a.m. So head on out there and learn all about roses and rose pruning. And we're going to try to give you a good, I guess, introductory course on roses here, Roses 101 here on Good to Grow. And so there are, I mean, when you go to the store and you see all the pretty roses, it's not just a rose bush. You have so many different types of roses. So let's sort of break it down. We've heard about grandiflorin Rosa Bunda. I'm not sure.
So, come on, Jen.
Okay. Fill us in on the different types of roses there are out there.
Well, there are probably... That's a new name. I don't know of that hybrid, but we'll research that
okay.
for you, Norma. The ones that I do know about and the ones that are probably the most common are the hybrid teas, which are the roses that you associate really with Valentine's Day and romance and all that kind of good stuff. And they're a single-stemmed rose. Then the Floribundas, which are a cross between polyantha, which is a little tiny hybrid tea, and it has a cluster of blossoms on them, kind of like a candelabra. That was the way I was taught back when I started the class, and it really stuck with me. And then the grandifloras are kind of the floribundas on steroids. There's lots and lots of blossoms. There's different characteristics, and we could spend hours going into all of these kinds of things. Then we have shrub roses and the climbing roses, specifically the Lady Banksias that we see in April that have this gorgeous cluster generally of yellow blossoms, sometimes white. You don't prune those until after they bloom. So don't be pruning those right now or you'll be very disappointed come April when you won't have any blossoms.
And they don't really have like those tendrils that most climbing vines have. They just kind of like need the support and they need the trellis. So, you know, you think climbers are not going to have those little curly cues that come out and attach themselves, but they do need that support or else they'll really just kind of flop over into a big mound and then you won't be able to get anything, you know, out of them. They won't look really nice and do anything for you. But I also think that people, when they talk about different kinds of roses, they want to know which ones are great for cut flowers. Because really it's that hybrid tea is the most classical one that you think of, the cut roses, because it's going to be that one flower on that one stem. You can do that for hybrid teas and also for the grandifloras. Even though they're like in a cluster form, the stems are still long enough to be able to cut. The other ones, like the floribundas, are more of on a shorter stem on that cluster, so maybe won't make the best cut flowers. Because definitely one of the things that when we talk about roses and their care is how to keep them blooming throughout the summer.
Well, and Denise is absolutely right. I'll cut my floribundas and bring them in. And I'm blessed because I can look out in the backyard and I see my roses, so I can bring the hybrid teas and the floribundas into a vase on a table or whatever and replenish them on a regular basis because I do prune, and that, of course, is one of the things that promotes good growth and more blooming. And as you study roses, as I say, we could take hours talking about it, so we just kind of want to hit the highlights today. But how we take care of them, of course, just like anything, is vital to their health and our success in the garden.
And I think it just makes it a lot easier, too. Like, if you want to pick something, if you're looking, like, are your top characteristics, are they fragrance? Is it color? Is it growth habit? I think are mainly the big three characteristics.
I think so, too. And we always think of roses as being fragrant. But if I remember correctly, our rose guru, Patrick O'Brien, from the garden told us when we took the class that really only about 20% of all roses are fragrant.
That's
fragrant. Of course, some of those are hybridized, but lots of people do pick the roses by fragrances. But it's surprising that not as many as you would think are actually fragrant.
Because I know at my in-laws, they have sort of right outside of their home these rose bushes that have been there for ages. They don't prune them. They just sort of let them go and they bloom, and you can almost smell them down the street is how fragrant they are. And I guess they're one of those types of roses, you know, I guess when we think of certain types of roses, like, you know, how with your grandparents and whatnot, where they've been there for generations and they can go with so much neglect, but they still go on performing really well. And that's, I think, one myth we want to dispel for a lot of people, that roses aren't really that complicated that as people might think, and that they are very forgiving.
They really are. And if you take good care of them and get into a good habit of care, and certainly this time of the year is the most important because this is when we're pruning. This is when you want to start fertilizing. Make sure that you've got good, well-drained soil and that you're... I water, on the average, I water my roses a couple times a week, even in the summer, 4 to 10 days, depending on the type, just like everything else, depending on the kind of soil you have. I have very sandy soil, so that makes it easier for me. But that's where your mulch and good compost mm-hmm. come into play. I say it all the time that he with the most compost wins. And that really is true in all of your gardening efforts, because it does help to, especially in your clay soils, it helps to loosen that up and really provide a good home for those roses. And they aren't hard. They can be time consuming, but it's time that's well spent. And you were talking about fragrant roses. The Double Delight is one that comes to my mind that is beautifully fragrant, changes color mm-hmm. as the blossoms get bigger and they start to fade. So that's one to kind of tuck in the back of your memory bank.
Well, there like are a certain one. Kind of rose, right, that is probably yeah. proven from the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension that's considered to be right. one of the best for our region because it's been tested under so many different conditions, and those are the earth kind roses.
Absolutely.
They've definitely been tried and true throughout different sites throughout the state, and the earth kind roses have gotten, you know, several years of study. They have not, when they are planted and they're trialed, they're not fertilized. They're not mulched, they're not pruned, nothing on that. So it's really important to look at this for a long-term investment for roses. So look for the earth kind label. Probably the most popular one that we see now in the nursery trade is the knockout rose. Mm-hmm. That's all earth kind rose, trialed with Texas A&M. But also look a little bit closer to home and roses and growing roses in El Paso. We have to really stop and look to see how fortunate we are. We have very low humidity, if you think about it. So a lot of these mildews and diseases that are going to attack roses are not really susceptible because of our low humidity. So if all we do is kind of really increase that airflow and that air circulation, we're going to help control those diseases and also those pests that are going to come in along with caring for your roses. And I think that's what the overall misconception is of being hard to work with. It's because they are prone to this. But I mean, we have a great location, but we just need to follow some practices to make them even a little more carefree mm-hmm. and earth kind.
They love full sun, and you can't get more full sun than El Paso.
That's very true. That's very true. And the knockouts that Denise was talking about, I'm finding that they're coming in more and more colors.
Right.
Used to be they would be red, and now there's pink, and there's a yellow one, and there's a pink one. And
I
mentioned pink. And double blubber blossoms as well. So they really are beautiful. Another great one, and I actually saw it at the trial garden in the Dallas area, and that was the Belinda's Dream. And it can get absolutely huge and just gorgeous. Absolutely. And to think about no work, that's right up my alley.
Right.
That's right up my alley. So there's beautiful ones. We do have documentation, good information at Master Gardeners that we're happy to share with you. We'll have that on the Rose Demonstration Day as well.
And that's happening next Saturday, January 30th, at the Municipal Rose Garden there next to Memorial Park. And we're not done talking about roses. We're going to have you back, Jen, next week to talk more about pruning. And I think that's probably an issue that most people who are thinking about roses probably shudder at the thought of. But we
exactly.
wanted to spell that myth, too.
It can be intimidating. But as you mentioned earlier, roses are very forgiving, and they respond well to that.
Well, we have information on next week's rose pruning demonstration at ktep.org on the Good to Grow page. You can also listen to some of our past shows there. We have some very helpful links in case maybe people want to learn more about gardening in the desert. I'll try to put up some good rose pruning links there as well. Master Gardener Jen Peterzelka, thanks again for coming in to join us today.
You're welcome. And you can also go to our El Paso Master Gardener Facebook page, and we will have information published.
The pictures are amazing.
They are wonderful. And we'll make sure that we put a bunch of them up once we start to have blossoms.
And we want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.